turn, take our Bibles again, turn to the book of John, chapter 1. We'll kind of go back over what we were looking at the last time we met, 2 weeks ago now. And we looked at that question and talked a little bit about the contemporary movement of that question, what would Jesus do? And we kind of turned around and looked at it and said, well, you know, well, what has he, what, not what would he do, but, you know, what has he done in the past? And not only what has he done in the past, but we're also going to look at what he's doing right now and what he's going to do in the future. And Jesus is our great example. As he is the Christ, we are part of the body, and we're part of Christ. We're, you know, little Christ, so to speak, you know, and we are each part of his body. And so whatever it is that Jesus has done, is doing, and will do, I mean, that's what we ought to be doing, period. Point blank. Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. So we need to let the mind of Christ, and this is, and I got it right here. You say, what's the mind of Christ? You got it right here. You want to know the mind of Christ? Study his word. Study, and you'll find out what his mind is. And we're to be filled with the Spirit of God. Again, it's this Bible right here. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit, not spiritual. They are spirit, and they are life. Amen? And we know that the Spirit of God gives life. His Word gives life. And so if we're going to answer these questions, we've got to go to the Word of God. And we're going to start in John chapter 1. We're going to kind of quickly just recover some of this stuff. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. First thing that we see right here in John 1 through 14, we find the revelation of God's Word. He revealed God's Word to this world. If you was in the meeting this week, you see where the brother talked about them 12 disciples. He said, if you know that Jesus Christ came to die for the sins of the world and he's going to be buried and raised again from the third dead, he said, you're miles in front of the 12. Well, they didn't know anything about that. Not nothing. As far as I know, nobody in the Old Testament knew anything about that. They were looking for a Savior. They knew that a Savior was coming. He was going to save them. But I don't think they knew how it was going to happen. They might have thought it was going to be like Moses, you know, when he came and delivered them out, you know. And, you know, we know that, and Moses was a type. We know how they went into the Red Sea. That was a type of the death, burial, and the resurrection. They went into the Red Sea and they came out. And they were all buried in the Red Sea, in baptism in the Red Sea. That's in the Bible. You can study it and you'll find that. But Jesus Christ came to reveal the Word of God. Second thing that he did, he made everything that was made. Everything that was made, who made it? He made it. Amen? And God's got a plan. You know, you were made in the image and likeness of God. Now, we've fallen from that. But you know something that you've got that's like God? You have creative ability. You can't make something out of nothing. I understand that. But you can take what God has created and do something for God with it. Amen? This ain't much, but this pulpit right here, I made that. How many years ago was that the church burned? How long has that been? Huh? 95. I was the pulpit for several years. Okay. And Brother Coates drilled a hole in a bad place and tore up the front of it a little bit. I've been meaning to do something to fix that a little bit. But that was a pulpit for several years because the old one would burn up. Now, you can do something for God if ain't nothing to make a pulpit for somebody. You can clean the church. You can get a vision to do something is what I'm trying to say. And God wants us to have that kind of a vision, to do something for God, and make something of the life that you got. God, Jesus Christ, made all things. Everything that was made, He done. Amen? And I'm going to tell you what, the programs that goes on here at this church, somebody had a vision and a willing to listen to God and go do it. Whether it be being involved in the bus ministry, going on Thursday night visitation, working in the nursing homes in the area, whether you go to the jail or the prisons, whether you are doing the work of evangelists, preaching in churches in the area, or whatever it is you're doing, or standing on a street corner and preaching to them. I wish we had some street corner preachers again. You don't see them much no more. Something about that I like. You say, well, I don't know. Yeah, I said, well, I know one thing, the devil don't like it. You come here and preach all you want, but when you get out there, then he don't like it a lick. He'll try to show, if you get to preaching too close to the Word of God in here, he don't like that either. He's scared somebody might get fired up and go do something for God. So he'll try to shut, that's the reason why you ought to pray for your preacher, because you better believe the devil wants to shut him down on Sunday morning. Huh? He's got some of hell's wax he's trying to drop in everybody's ears. Now, he doesn't know. Anyway, so everything that was made, he made. Now, looking here, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, he came to this world to bring life. Everything in this world was dead in trespasses and sins. All men were dead in trespasses and sins. Not just man, but God's creation had fell under the condemnation of sin. Jesus Christ came to redeem the world. He didn't just come to redeem man. He came to redeem the world, the creation of God. And he's going to make all things new. Praise God. I know this world's going to melt and the heavens is going to, roll up like a scroll. I know that. But the Bible said that this world, that this earth that God created is forever. He did it forever. It's going to melt. And out of the ashes is going to be a brand spanking new one wherein dwelleth righteousness. Even God, the place where God's throne is going to be made new. New heavens, not a new heaven, not just the atmosphere around the earth, not just the stars in the sky, but the third heaven is going to all be made new. And Jesus Christ is sending up far above the heavens that he might fill all things. I asked that question in teen class years ago. I said, what's all things? You ever thought about that? All things. He comes to fill all things. Boy, it's a world without end. I don't know what new heaven, what it's going to be like to be in the new creation that God has done. I don't know. You say, what are we going to be doing? I don't know. Do you know for sure? I know I'm going to be worshiping and praising him and all of that. I know I'm going to be doing that. But what else I'm going to be doing? I don't know. I don't know what we're going to be doing. Whether it's just standing in his presence for eternity, I guarantee you won't be bored. But I don't know. But I do know he's making a new heaven, and he's going to fill all things. And everything that he's creating, guess who it belongs to? It belongs to us. We're heir, joint heir of all these things he's made. Now, man, that would make a Presbyterian shout, y'all. Look here. Huh? I mean, God is doing a great work that he's putting us, making us involved in. Hey, he brought life to a world dead in trespasses and sin. This life brings light. You cannot understand that Bible, not until the life of God comes in you. And there's no light till you get to life. Amen? He brings life and light to this world. also, we couldn't come to him Huh? We couldn't come to him. Hey, how many of you, if you could go to heaven right now, how many of you say, well, I ain't going right yet. I'm not ready yet. How many of you feel that way? If there's a way I could walk into the presence of God right now and go to heaven, guess what? I'd go. Huh? I'd go right now. Hey, you heard that joke, you know, I thought you was getting a load up right now. Well, hey, if he was, let's get on board. Hey, man, I want to go. But you can't. You say, well, I could kill myself. Well, you could, but if you did, God ain't going to be very pleased with that. I'll tell you something else, too. You might not die. Might be like a boy I know shot himself, tried to kill himself. He said, you're laying there in the hospital. God said, you ain't going nowhere, so I say you can go. It's all by his permission. Believe me, he's in charge of this whole thing. And so, since, you know, we can't decide when and where, you know, amen, just go on and occupy till he comes and gets us, amen. So, we can't go to him. If we could, I'd go, amen. I'd go right now. He had to come to us. Amen. I'll tell you something else. With that light in you, see, with that light and understanding, you think that lost world can come to him? No. And how is he going to come to them? Somebody tell me how he's coming to them. It's through us. We're his body. We're his hands. We're his feet. We're his mouth. His world can't come to him. We've got to go to them. Go into the highways and hedges. Go into all the world. Go. The gospel. G-O. Go. S-P-E-L. Go spell it out, amen, to them. Because they can't understand. They can pick up his Bible and be like me. I mean, I knew a lot about the Bible before I got saved. I can tell you, I knew that Jesus was virgin born. I knew he died on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world. I knew that he arose again from the dead. I knew he was seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. I knew he was coming again. I know a lot about the Bible. I know a lot of things before I got saved. Lots of stuff I knew. But you know what? I was ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know why? I believed in vain. It didn't profit me anything. I believed all these things, but you know what? I had yet to receive life. And without receiving life, I didn't understand. Oh, I knew what was written on the pages of this book. I could quote some scripture to you. I could tell you lots of things. About Jesus and about God and about the devil and about angels and about the things to come. I can tell you a lot of prophecy. I used to like to study prophecy. I even wrote about it. I even taught about it. But you know what, Dave? You got to have Jesus Christ to explain it to you. And in 1984, he showed me what I was. Amen. And that's what's got to happen. You got to see what you are. And we're going to look at that. And in the next study we do, we're going to look at what it means to be lost. We're going to look what it means to die and perish. Because that's part of this war, and that's what we're trying to prevent. People from dying in their sins and perishing in a lake of fire. And I knew that there was a lake of fire. I knew that they were the hell. I knew these things. I even warned people about them. But I wasn't really taking heed because I had not yet seen myself. When Jesus Christ comes, hey, even those magi that came to the Lord Jesus, God drew them there. And the devil tried to use them to destroy Jesus. Did he not? Boy, they left a different way, amen. Amen. He come for them too. We couldn't come to him, but he come to us. His light brings life, brings belief. When you see, that's what happened. Even though I believe these things are true, I had a new kind of belief come in me. I believed that the Bible was the Word of God. I believed that Jesus was the Son of God. I believed all these things. But it brought a new kind of belief. I began to really believe the Bible. You say, what do you mean? Well, when I read, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," I believed that. But after I got the light in me, I believed, hey, that's talking about me. Amen. Huh? It got real personal. You remember when that kind of light come on in you? And you read that Bible and boy, those promises, they become real. They become very personal. And God showed them. Boy, I read it, you know, it's like you read it, but just didn't quite have it figured out. Then God shone the light on His Word. And in the beginning was the Word. Wow, that's a capital W. Oh, Lord. That's talking about Your Son. The Word of God. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. Amen. And boy, and then all of a sudden I started to realize, wait a minute. This is the Word of God. You saying it's just as good as God? It's just as perfect. It's just as eternal. It brings light. It brings light. It does all these things that Jesus does. You know why? Because it's His Word. It ain't the pages. It's not the print. It's the fact that this is the living Word of God, which is spirit and life. And I'm going to tell you what. That Brother Doc did a good job of trying to convey that to us over there in 2 Peter. Amen. Where it said we have a more sure word of testimony. I remember about 5 years ago, he owned a building we were working in, and I talked to him. I was trying to witness to him. He was an elderly gentleman. I was trying to get him to come to the knowledge of the truth. And he said, "You got to understand." He said, "His education was in the way. His education was getting in the way of believing." He said, "I believe in science." I said, "I do too." But the Bible said, "Beware of science, falsely so called." You got to make sure, because true science agrees with this book. And this book would never, never disagree with the truth of science. And true science will never disagree with this book right here. He didn't understand that. And I would try to talk to him about it, you know, and I forgot where I was going there. Well, anyway, His light brings life, which brings true belief. And the light in life brings true belief to a world of unbelievers. That's one thing I'm sure of, that this Word of God, because it had an influence on him. He had always felt, he used to say, well, you know, talking about homosexuals, he said, I think it's something that people are just born with. I said, I'll even concede that. I said, because I can't prove either way. You know what I mean? Hey, we all got besetting sins, do we not? Some people just, I mean, that they're bad about stealing. I've known people who are bad about stealing. My wife got some of them in her classroom, little 5-year-old kids. They're bad about stealing. Somebody told them about stealing. know, now it's got to be kind of a thing. Well, you know. I said, I'll concede that. Okay? I said, there's some people's got anger issues. That give you right every time you lose your temper to go upside my head? Huh? I said, some people got problems stealing. Does that make them all right to break into your business and take what you got? That make that okay? If a person has a problem with perverted sexual ideas in his mind, that give him a right to go out and rape and pillage and murder? He said, well, of course not. I said, okay, I concede they might have a problem with that area. They might be born with it. They might even be born with an effeminate side to them. But that still don't give them a right to do wrong. I said, God Almighty is able, if they will ask Him to help them with whatever problem is they got. Any of y'all got something that y'all have a problem with, you talk with God about? A thorn in your flesh? I'm just simply saying, belief. When you begin to, God begins to show you, you know, your belief system changes. I used to believe certain things, and now people say, well, you're a Christian. I said, I'm a Bible believer. I believe the Bible. I said, I don't say I understand it all. I said, I just believe it's right and I'm wrong. And it's able to teach me what is true and what is right. And all I need to do is I need to keep studying it and keep reading it. And it will have its effect in my life. It will change me. His life brings life, which brings belief into a world of unbelievers. With that thought, we need to take the light to this world. He works in man to produce belief that they will desire to receive Him. Look in 11 and 12. He came to his own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Hey, it's God that worketh in you both the will and the do of His good pleasure. All the honor and praise and glory belongs to Him. All of it. You say, well, yeah, but look, if you do anything for God, guess where it started at? It didn't start with you. Huh? It started with Him. He working in you. Give Him the praise. Give Him the glory. Well, how can we dare touch any of the glory? Amen? Look, you go ahead and give Him all the glory. The day will come when we get to heaven, God will praise us. You don't have the right to praise men. You don't have the right to praise yourself, your family, or anybody else. That's God's place. Your place is to praise and give honor to the one that you know has did it all. This light brings belief, and it produces belief and the desire to receive Him. This word which gives life, producing light that brings belief, making men to desire Him, men that are dead in trespasses and sins, to receive Him, to receive a new birth. They are made alive by receiving the gift of God. Take your Bible, turn over to the book of John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 14, it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. For any of this to take place, there had to first be the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He must. I like that word must. Ye must be born again. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 4 verse 12, there's none other man under heaven given. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Man must be saved. every man, boy, woman, and child on this planet. I believe that. I can go out there, and I ain't nobody I can come to that I can look at and say, well, he didn't die for you, so ain't no help, no hope. No, I can look him right in the eyeballs and say, it's already been paid. Eternal life is yours. It's a gift. Just like, you know, just like if I was to reach in my pocket and pull out a $50 bill, which I ain't going to do. But I was to pull out this dollar bill and say, this is a gift, and I want to give it to Brother Ernie Bartlett.
I'd like to give you this gift. He's got it. It's his. I don't want it back here.
God don't come to give you something to take it back. It's a gift, but you got to receive it. I could load my Christmas tree up this year full of gifts, but if nobody come to get them, guess what? They ain't get them. You know? I can invite them. I can go compel them. But until they want that gift, they're not going to get it. But it's all been purchased. I can tell them. I said, look, it's already been taken care of. Oh, boy, I used to work with years ago. He said, I don't want nobody dying for me. I said, too bad. It's already happened. He said, I don't want it. I said, well, you ain't going to get it. I said, you'll perish. I said, but God loves you. He didn't like that. That's the reason why I ain't going to get it. Because he didn't like it. He hated God. He was mad with God. I said, I understand. I've been there. I've been mad with God before. Don't sit there and look at me like you ain't, because I know you have. There have been times in your life, things happened, you didn't understand. Disappointed. Whether it was a child. I remember Brother Joe Allen talking about, you remember that? Talking about kicking that thing like he was kicking God. You remember him giving that example? Huh? So I understand. God understands too. He understands you're stupid. But he'll accept you right where you're at. You make him change. So, his word gives life, producing life that brings belief, making men desire him that are dead in trespasses and sins. In the book of 1 John chapter 3, this same Jesus keeps himself. And you can find over in the book of Peter, we're kept by the power of God. That's something he's doing right now. Amen. The Bible said he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's up in heaven right now. He ever lives to make intercession for us. I've heard people say, you know, you take that verse over there, you know, and where Jesus said who he died, and no, we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and they say, be willing to die for them. I said, you got to be more than willing to die for them. I go, that's about as far as men said. Well, I'll lay down my life, boy. I get out there and I'll fight. Somebody come into my house, but I'll lay down my life. That's fine. That's all well and good. Now, you lay down your life when there ain't nobody invading your house? Huh? Do you lay down your life for your wife now? That's what Jesus has done. He said, I didn't come in the world to be served, but to do what? Serve. Well, I tell you what. He's going to heaven, and guess what he's doing right now? He's serving. He's serving us each and every day. Holy Spirit of God, we sit down and we try to pray. We don't know how to pray like we ought. The Holy Spirit tears it up to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ takes that information and carries it to his Father. Amen. And he ever lives to make intercession for us. Day in, day out, constantly serving, making intercession. Our high priest. Amen. When we're fouling up, when we're doing wrong, he's working in our lives to put us back on course. He ever lives to make an intercession for us. It's all well and good to say, I'm willing to die for my wife. Are you ready to live for her? I tell you what, if you ain't ready to live for your own, you ain't ready to reach out to this world. I can tell you that. You know, if anything ain't right in your family, how in the world are you going to serve the world? Hey, ain't that what it said about bishops?
Sure.
Huh? You don't know how to take care of your own household, how are you going to take care of the household of God?
that mean we stop witnessing? No, we keep on witnessing. We might have some things messed up, but keep on witnessing. You know why? If you bear fruit, God said He'll purge you that you bear more fruit.
Amen.
Just do, hey, jump in where you know. I forgot. Got that missionary name. Somebody help me. From India. He was here. Just recently. Huh?
Hurst.
Somebody help me.
Huh? Hurst.
No, from India. Something like it. Anyway. And he said that. He said, this is what every one of you needs. Teach me to do thy will, O God. If you want to do God's will, you ought to start off with your own house. Learn how to take care of your own, your household. Then, God, you'll learn more. And you know how you're going to learn it? You're going to get in this Bible. You're going to read and study and do what you know to do right now. You want to know God's perfect will? Do what you know right now. What is it? I know this brother wants to pasture again somewhere. But you know what? If he lays around on his duff, don't do what he knows God wants him to do right now, he might get a church, but it won't be the will of God. Am I right? Go there and make a mess and mess up a bunch of families and everything else. You need to learn to do God's will right where you're at. Well, take your Bibles and turn the book. We kind of covered that a little bit. We're going to look more about what Jesus is going to do in the future when we get in this study about hell and the lake of fire. And judgment to come. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. I want to say this in Revelation 13:8. He was slain from the foundation of the world. John 14:1-3. He goes to prepare a place for us. Hebrews 4:3. He prepared for us a rest. Romans 8:34. Hebrews 7:25. He ever lives, past, present, future, to make intercession for us that have come to Him. 1 Peter 2:21. What Jesus has done, is doing, will do, and we are without excuse. We know. Because what Jesus has done is the will for our life. He said, the things that I do, He said, you'll do, and greater things shall you do than I have. What Jesus told His disciples. Okay, in Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words. Guess what I'm talking about? Guess what I'm relating this to right now? What we just studied about Jesus. If you will receive my words. And hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. See, that's what I had before. I knew things. I had knowledge. Ever knowing. Ever learning. Never even come to knowledge of the truth. But here, if you apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, look, I guarantee you, if I brought to you some documentation that showed that on your property, in your backyard, man, there was a chest of jewels that was buried by some bandit years ago, and I have it beyond a shadow of a doubt, and it was
back there in your backyard, buddy, I guarantee you, y'all would all go out and buy and you'd probably rent a backhoe or something and start digging up that front yard, backyard, trying to find that treasure. Most people would. I ain't saying you would, but for sure. But most people would. I mean, there was no doubt of it. It's back there. It's there. I'm talking about $several million worth of jewels and gold and silver and precious antiques that are hidden in a chest. There's a lot. Man, you don't think so? I tell you what. Yeah, you need to watch some of them things where you got these treasure hunters. They go all over the world hunting for treasures. They dive down to the bottom of the oceans. They climb up in the mountains hunting for gold. I mean, you know. He said, but this right here, but if you seek it for her, he said, you will find it. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth it. So if you're going to seek this, who are you going to have to come to? The Lord, that's right. If you seek it, her. He said, right here, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, ever good path, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul. Now I'm going to go back to the very first verse again. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide thy commandments with thee. Now Jesus has already told us what to do. And now he's coming. He said, what you will have if you do what I've told you to do. You're not going to get it, though, by just doing nothing. We got to do what Jesus has done and keep on doing it. You got to study the Word. You got to pray. You got to go about doing good. You got to do, as this brother brought to my mind, he always does those things which please the Father. That's what Jesus would do. That's what he's done. That's what he will do. All those things that pleases the Father. Then thou shalt understand righteous judgment, equity, every good path. When wisdom enters into thy heart, knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. What pleases your soul? A good football game? I know. This brother, he likes it. He likes that fight. He used to really like that kickboxing. I heard him talk about it. He said, I know it's wicked as hell. He said, but as long as they doing something, I'm watching. I used to like watch that stuff, too. I don't usually have time anymore, but I used to watch that full contact stuff. And, man, I've seen some guys get hurt bad. Bible says, and we take pleasure in that. We're nuts. Amen. Hey, now notice this. When wisdom in thy heart, knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Now, that word evil right there, a lot of people always, the first thing they do, they run off to the devil. See, the devil's evil. What the devil does evil? How many of you realize that God can do evil? I would say he repented of the evil which he thought to do unto them. He has the knowledge of good and evil. Evil is not necessarily bad. Evil just simply means destructive. So you can choose a path that's destructive. It doesn't mean that you're a wicked person. You can be a believer and choose a bad direction and tear up a bunch of stuff. It doesn't mean that you're wicked. Now see, God can do evil, but God cannot do wicked. There's no wickedness in him. I'm going to tell you something. You're saved. If you're saved, there's no wickedness in you either. But you can do evil. You can do the wrong things. Make a mess of stuff. We I've talked to a couple people this morning already, and those are people that because of some evil things that's been done in their lives, they're messed up right now. They didn't do the evil. Somebody else did. But they got wounded by it. Now they're going in some bad direction. Gotta be careful about the way we treat people. You know that can be evil. Let's go on here. To deliver the wayward evil man from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the path of uprightness. Notice this. It said he leaves the path. So he was in the path. He was in the path, but he left it to walk in the ways of darkness. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. Now, men, you say, well, I can't do it. Yes, you can. You can do that. Now, we've seen what Jesus has done. And the Bible says, you can look at this, and the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It didn't say it is witchcraft, but it's as the sin of witchcraft. Might as well be a witch. You can sit there and don't take heed to, if we don't take heed to what God has told us. That very first verse there says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words. Don't let God's word just be water as on a duck's back and roll off. Take heed to it. I mean, boy, let it settle down. Make it a part. We need to make that a part of our life. We need to make that a part of our life. We know that we ought to be a witness. We know we need to study. We know we need to pray. We need to seek God's will. We need to do what the Lord Jesus did. Jesus said, of myself, I can do nothing. You know what he did? He took on the form of a man. If Jesus of himself can do nothing, man, what can we do? He was God in flesh. Everything he did it the same way that you're going to do it. Through the power of the person of the Spirit of God. So we're without excuse. You understand what I'm trying to say here? We're without excuse. Make all excuses we want, but you know what? I heard a good definition for that one time. What an excuse is? It's the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. We need to let these words settle down in our hearts. People are counting on us. You say, well, they don't even know about us. Don't make no difference. People are dependent on us. Let's put it that way. Their salvation, their help, the things that they need from God. Dependent on our meeting. These words right here we just read. See? Whatever I am, whether I'm the toenail or the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ, I got my part to play. So do you. And if we do not yield ourselves to the mind of Christ, then somebody else is going to have to work harder. I want to do my part. Brother Jeremy, would you pray for us this morning?
Our Father.